Amen. Praise God. Amen. Well, me and Stanton are going to sing a little chorus, you know. We're going to sing I Keep Falling in Love with Him over and over again, but there's verses to that song, actually, I just recently discovered. I want to try and learn the verses to it. I'm not sure if we have it in a book or not, but I'll try and learn the verses to I Keep Falling in Love with Him once I get on to the praise God. I'll just sing the chorus for now, and then our pastor's going to come today for me. I keep falling in love.
Service. I know that a few folks missing this morning, maybe sick or something, but the Lord bless those that's here, and I appreciate everyone's support. I really appreciate it. It has been an easy few months, you know, and the Lord's good, but I just want to thank everyone for your support. Praise God. And I was really blessed with the wee minister at Sister Jenny's mum's funeral. You know, I thought he did really well, and he said some wonderful things, and you know, I got to talk with him after the service as well, and he was telling me how he went to talk to Sister Iris and how she really gave her heart to the Lord. It was wonderful. It's a big, you know, when I went to visit her myself, she said, you know, when she prayed that prayer, there's a peace come over her. A peace, a real peace. And you know, the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 10 that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you know, that's an end time scripture, because it says it'll come to pass in the last days, saith God. Whosoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. And that's the most important thing. You know, the most important thing is to call on the name of the Lord and be saved. And you know, It's hard, but you know, if we could just, we're over there. We can never appreciate why we're here. But you know, Wigglesworth, Smith Wigglesworth called his wife back when she died. He didn't want to let her go. And she says, "Do not call me back. I am not coming back to this place. Where I am is a better place." William Branham as well. And his first wife, she came back and she said, "You have preached about it, but you have no idea how beautiful and how wonderful it is." And you know that wee message, "Beyond the curtain of time," how he had the vision beyond and he saw the other side, and it really explains it so well. Heaven. And we're turned back to young men and women. We're turned back young. And there's no more pain, no more sorrow. We've entered into eternity. And it's wonderful. And the Paul the Apostle says, "Absent from the body and present with the Lord." Praise God. The Lord bless you this morning. I want to try and bring a message for the just help every one of us this morning. And I started to share this on Wednesday night. So if anyone wants to go and listen it, it'll be on our website, Omega Ministry Bound Bridge, or omegaministry.co.uk. You can go on there and listen it. Anyone that wants to. What to do when trouble comes. And we're looking at Paul the Apostle, and we want to go straight into the book of Acts, and I won't hold you as long this morning, and I want to read from Acts 27, Acts chapter 27, verse 13. Acts 27, verse 13, and there's five things that I want to bring out from the Word of God, instructions for us, and if ever there was a man who went through trouble, it was Paul the Apostle. Verse 13, "And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, losing thence, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after there arose against it a tempest wind called Euroclydon." Praise God. It's like a cyclone wind. That's a real hurricane wind, a real bad wind. And I looked it up, and it means an east wind. Cyclone. But it's a real bad wind. You know, we have a saying here, east wind's neither good for man nor beast. East wind is bitter cold. But a south wind's a warm wind. So they were sailing into this hurricane, into this wind. Verse 15, "And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, they let her drive, and the running under a certain island, which is called Claudia, we had much work to come by the boat. But when they had taken up, they used helps undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksand, strake sail, and so were driven. And we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of a ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and says, Sir, ye should have not have hearkened unto me, and not have loosed from Crete, and have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of the Lord, whom I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God has given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as he told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. But when the 14th night was come, and as we were driven up and down Adria about midnight, the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country, and sounded and found 20 fathoms, and when they had gone a little farther, they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. Then fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea under the color as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship. Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, this day is the 14th, that ye have tarried and continued fasting and have taken nothing. Wherefore I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health, for there shall not an hair fall from the head of any of you. Let's just pray, and you can read on this morning while I go through the message. If you have a need this morning, just lift your hand up before the Lord while every head and every eyes closed this morning. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we humbly and reverently bow before you in the name that thou hast set far above every name, the name of Jesus Christ. We welcome you, we invite you into this room and into this building. We take authority over every spirit that's contrary to the Holy Spirit right now, in the name of Jesus Christ. We ask that the Holy Spirit will be in this room in a powerful way, that we might know your touch, your presence, your anointing. I do take the Holy Ghost right now, and I thank you that you do undertake for me. I pray for every hand that's raised in this house, that you will meet every need and answer the prayers that's been secretly prayed. Touch that dear sister that's not even here this morning in her body. May she get good news in the mighty name of Jesus. Pray for others that couldn't be here, that you bless them, you'll touch them. Lord, in Jesus' precious name, I thank you, Lord, for the people that's given to your work. And I, Lord, we know that if we cast our bread upon the water, doubtless with tears you've promised, it shall return again on us. Bless your people, strengthen them, meet every need, and encourage each one from your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. You know, I know I referred this to Wednesday. It's just something in life, so I always refer to it when I race the pigeons. And you know, if you race the pigeon in an east wind at the start of the year, you will not be racing them at the end of the year in July in the hot wind, because you won't have them. Because the east wind takes the flesh off them, it ruins them, it destroys them. It takes too much out of them. And here Paul's in a tempest, and this is an east wind, it's a hurricane wind. And all hope seems to be gone. And we saw on Wednesday night, the first thing that we saw was that Paul spent time alone with God. And that's one of the secrets this morning. What to do when trouble comes? When trouble comes, you need to spend time alone with God. It's good that people are in contact and all them things. It's wonderful. But I can tell you from my own experience, I like to be alone with the Lord. Alone with the Lord. And I don't want to see nobody for a time or hear from anybody for a time. I want to be with the Lord. And Paul, the Bible says, they hadn't seen him. He was a long absence. He was away praying to the Lord. Because Paul knew this was a life and death situation, not just for himself, but of everyone that sailed in this ship. And Paul was alone with the Lord, and Paul was hearing from the Lord. Then the other thing we saw as well, Paul reckoned on the presence of God. Paul prayed, but Paul also reckoned on the presence of God. And the presence of the Lord came in the situation at the moment it was needed. For the Bible says, last night there stood by me the angel of the Lord. I tell you, many times we don't know it, but the Bible says the angels of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear the Lord. I know from my own testimony, when I was in jail and suicidal and I wanted to kill myself, the devil told me, kill yourself. That's the way I felt. That's what I wanted to do. But the angel of the Lord came into my room. You said, what was he like? I didn't see nobody, but I heard the footsteps. And that being walked in my room across the floor. I heard the footsteps. and a hand physically and literally touched me in the shoulder, and a voice audibly spoke to me 10 nights in a row. And he said the same thing every time. I love you and give myself for you. I tell you, that changed everything. The presence of the Lord changed everything. And the presence of this angel of the Lord changed everything for Paul and all those of us with them. So he prayed. Then the second thing, he reckoned on the presence of God. And then we get into the third thing, that we must believe God's promises. And the Bible promises, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, though I'm with you always unto the end of the world. We are to reckon, we are to believe the promises of God. God has promised he'll not leave us. He's promised to give us, to send us another comforter. Here's the thing about the comforter. We pray, Lord, will you come? We pray, Holy Spirit, will you come? But when we read the Bible says that he sent the Holy Spirit unto them to remain and abide with them. You read that in John's Gospel, that the Holy Spirit will abide with you forever. Now you mightn't feel anything, but he's still there. And this is a problem with a feeling. People can put feelings above the Word of God. But we must put the Word of God above the feelings. They're only senses. They're senses. But we know a prophet of God preached a message called the sixth sense. The sixth sense. So when you don't see it or hear it or smell it or taste it or feel it, you believe it. You believe it. There's a sixth sense where you believe and you can touch God. And Paul experienced that sixth sense where he believed and touched God. Then the feeling came and all the other things came. But when they're not there and they don't seem to be there, there's something within you that goes down deep and believes the Lord. So we believe his promises. No tempest wind can ever change a divine promise of God. God had told Paul, you're coming to that place. And though the wind tried to change it, and everything tried to change it, and you know, there was prisoners was on that ship. And you know that Paul and them was on the ship, and there was prisoners on the ship, and you know they were forbidden to preach in the name of Jesus. Somebody knows that. We heard about a wonderful message last week about the name. They were forbidden to preach in that name, but they said, whether it please men or not, we will continue to preach in that name of Jesus Christ. I tell you, it'll get you into trouble when you preach in that name. That's the thing that'll get you into trouble. There's lots of other things you can preach. You'll never have a problem. But when you preach that name, the devil gets disturbed at that name. But they said, we will continue to preach. Paul told them that there were no prisoners lost. Even those, everyone will be saved, because no storm can change the promise of God. And no matter what you're going through this morning, some of us are going through storms, but no storm can change your destiny. God has a destiny for you. Your destiny could be different than somebody else's destiny. Your calling could be different than somebody else's calling. But God's a plan for you. God's a purpose for your life. And the devil wants to discourage you, but the Lord wants to encourage you. And you don't know how many people you could have touched just for your testimony. Just for your testimony. You might be a preacher. Maybe that's for somebody, you're not a preacher. But your testimony speaks louder than 1,000 words. Your testimony. When people will look to see how you react in a storm. And they look to see how Paul react. Paul went alone with God. Then Paul reckoned on the presence of God. And the presence of God come. Then Paul knew the promises of God. They cannot fail. For God can't fail. They're certain and true of eternal. God's promises are certain and as true as God himself is. They can't fail. In the beginning was the Word. John 1 verse 1. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. I tell you, God's Word can't fail. Jeremiah says that God watches over its Word to perform it and to bring it to pass. It wasn't easy either for Abraham to believe the promise when he was nearly 100 years of age. And Sarah was 90. And God appeared to them. And you know, but they believed God. And God says, you're going to have a son. He had no heir. And there was others that he said, will they be heir? God said, no, these others will not be the heir. But the heir will come by Sarah. And Sarah ceased to be with her to have children. She was 90 years old. But God said, it's going to happen with Sarah. But what a record we can read in Romans 4, verse 20 to 21. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. Abraham staggered not. He never stumbled at it. He never feared at it. He staggered not, but was strong in faith, giving the glory to God. He knew that the God that promised it was able to bring it to pass. And I tell you, it's not you or me that's given the promise. It is Almighty God that has given the promise. This is God's word. It is God's word we're relying upon. It is God that has said it. It is God that will bring it to pass. He's not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he needs to repent. He will bring his word to pass. He keeps an eye on his own word. Abraham never staggered, and being fully persuaded that which he had promised, he was able also to perform. So Abraham was fully persuaded that God told him it'll happen, that the God that said it'll happen could make it happen. Now, there's no way Abraham could make it happen. He just believed God. And there's things in our life that we can't change, but God can change them. God can change them. We've children away in the day and they're out in the world, and they're not serving the Lord. They're away in the hills, wild and bare. But God can change them. God can change them. But we have to pray. We have to reckon on the promises of God. Believe for his presence and believe his promises, like you and your house shall be saved. We need to believe it. We need to believe it. The Lord had told Paul that there would no loss. There'd be no life lost during this great storm, this shipwreck. And it turned out exactly the way God said it. This is always the case. God cannot and will not lie. God's promises cannot fail. When did it get that this morning? You know, when you think of a loved one that's called on the name of the Lord, God's promise cannot fail. They're saved when they call. They're saved. Because the word of God says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the end of it. It doesn't go on the feeling or the looking. It goes on the word of God. And God's word can't fail. Praise God. Here's the fourth thing this morning. And the first one, spent in time of God. The second's believing in God's presence. The third is his promises. Here's the fourth thing, count on his blessings. God has blessings we can count on. We can count on the blessings of God. The Bible says if you pray for Israel, God will bless you. That's a promise in the word of God. God has promised those that will bless you, I will bless. Those that curse you, I will curse. God will bless those that bless Israel. I heard a wonderful testimony that a brother Brian Freeborn sent me about a soldier, Jewish soldier, was converted in a tank. Did anyone hear that one? In the tank. And they got over the border further than they were meant to go, into the enemy's territory where there was things in the ground, mines, landmines. And five other enemy tanks came on the scene. And this man appeared, and he led the Israeli tank to safety. And he led the other tank to danger. That's basically, I'll put it up on the church app and you can listen to it in case I don't give you all the detail. But you see, God cannot change his mind about his word. This is a thing that a prophet of God said in the church age book. The church age books are here. There's church age books. He said in that book, he said, the greatest revelation of all revelations is that God cannot change his mind about his word. Me and you could make a decision and tomorrow we could change it. And there's people change their mind all the time. You've heard that people say that. Oh, they change their mind all the time. You don't know your own mind. But that's the thing with God. God is steadfast, unmovable. God wants us to be steadfast, unmovable. God doesn't want us to change our mind. God does not change his mind about his word. Now we can count on the blessings of God. Paul gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. He thanked God. And even though we're in danger, even though we're going through a hard time, God wants us to thank him. He wants us to thank him. You know, when you think, when you bury a loved one, we can thank the Lord. We can thank the Lord to get saved. Isn't that wonderful? Just imagine if you went to the graveside and the word saved. Just imagine that. Wouldn't it be terrible? And what would the minister say? And, you know, it's a difficult situation. But when they're saved, it's wonderful because they're rejoicing in heaven. The angels are rejoicing. We to rejoice. Their names are down in the Lamb's Book of Life. We know they were always in there, but God brought them to that place. Now, I'm going to say this morning as well. You know, some people say, well, somebody got saved late in their lives. That was the Holy Spirit. But another person can't copy that. That is only the sovereignty of God. It's God that does that. God might do that for every person. Somebody else could say, well, I'll do that. They mightn't be able to do that. That was the sovereignty of God. And that was because people had been praying. Just like Paul had been praying. And we have something to thank the Lord about this morning. Isn't that wonderful? Many, many great Christians mentioned in the Bible. We're able to praise God in the hour of great trial. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Now, I know I get excited when I'm preaching. There's nothing I can do about that. I'm never going to apologize for that. I get excited. The Word of God moves me. I know some people, they don't seem to be moved, but I'm not one of them. Does something for me. I get excited when I read the Word of God. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 14. Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ. You can't do it on your own, but in Christ you can triumph. And maketh manifest the Savior of his knowledge by us in every place. I tell you, no matter where you are, if you're a believer, you can triumph. You can triumph, and your testimony will do something to other people. You don't necessarily have to be preaching to them, but your life can speak. Your life can speak how you live, how you act, how you manage situations. Your life can speak to people. You know, I remember many years ago when I was in Switzerland, and I stayed in a home with a man and a woman called Nancy and Dieter Frey. They were lovely people. The man smoked a pipe. Nobody took him serious as a Christian because he smoked a pipe. But he says, I'm saved. I have a dirty habit smoking a pipe, but I'm saved. I'm a believer. And he smoked a pipe, and it didn't bother me a bit. Because, you see, only God can change a man what has a bad habit. And other people could have a habit you mightn't see. But it could be as dirty as a smoking. Maybe worse. But you see, I used to pray in the basement. They had a basement. And back then, they had so many messages and videos of Moore Sorrell. And I used to go down in there, and T.L. Osborne as well. I got all his tapes back then. And I used to go in the basement and wait on the Lord. But they instructed me. And Nancy and Dieter instructed me, and they said, now Tom, look, everybody that's come through here preaches to my mother. And they've really turned her off. And don't please preach to my mother, because so many other preachers and peoples came here and they put my mother right off the whole thing. And I said, I won't say a word to her. I respect your home, but I would just keep praying and seeking the Lord in the basement. And I was there for some time, and I was leaving. I was going into America. And you know, when I went into America, the missionary group I was with said, Tom, you can't come because there's no more flights left on the plane and you won't be able to go. But do you see the same one that came to me in the jail? He came in the basement and he said, you're going to America. and you're going on the same plane they're going on. But they've said, I'm not going, and I can't go on that plane. And Dieter says, Tom, I bought you a ticket. He says, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. That's the fellow that smoked the pipe. And I bought you a ticket for to go on that plane. And I said, praise God. So you know, God fed Elijah with the old dirty raven, didn't I? Yes. Dirty old thing, and God used it to feed him. So you see, that's how the Lord works in wondrous, mysterious ways. And I tell you, they were shocked. When we got to the airport and my flight was booked on the same plane as them, they were shocked. But it happened. But I was leaving and we were about to go, and that wee grandmother, she started crying. She couldn't speak English, and she told through the interpreter, she says, I want what he's got. There's a light I can see over him, and I want what he's got. Now I don't know what you're saying, but she seen something, and I led her to the Lord. On the last day, I led her to the Lord, and she got saved. And there was tears of joy in that house, because that woman was an old woman, and none of the preachers ever could get her saved. But you see, they tried to get her saved. You see, we can't get nobody saved. It's the Lord that saves people. And we must be careful that we don't try to do the work of the Holy Spirit ourselves. The Holy Spirit must work on a person. And I believe that with all my heart. And the Holy Spirit worked on her and she got saved. Isn't that wonderful? And the time for you and the time for someone else could be a different time. But the Lord's got a lot of time. And thank God for that. Praise God. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 25 and 31. Thrice, this is, I want you just to see for a moment what Paul went through. And I won't keep as long this morning. I want you just to hear this, what Paul went through. When you think of your trials and your suffering, I want you to hear what Paul went through. Three times was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. And journeyings often in perils of waters, and perils of robbers, and perils by my own countrymen, and perils by the heathen, and perils in the city, and perils in the wilderness, and perils in the sea, and perils amongst false brethren. In weariness, in painfulness, in watchings, often in hunger and thirst, and fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the cure of the churches. Who is weak, and I am not weak. Who is offended, and I burn not. If I must glory, I must glory of the things which concern mine infirmities, the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forever, knoweth that I lie not. So Paul's saying, you think you're suffering when I'm suffering. You think you're having trials, I'm having trials. And to put all these trials I'm having that you're having, I'm having to look after the churches on top of all that. And you know, back then when you read of the churches, read of it, and hear there's fornications amongst you. Think of the things Paul had to deal with. Paul dealt with man worship in his day. It's the same today, isn't it? Paul said, I hear you're baptizing in the name of Peter, and I hear you're baptizing in the name of another disciple. And he said, I'm glad to baptize none of you. And Paul rebukes them that they're only to baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all these things were going on. And Paul had all these trials, but he triumphed in the Lord. And you know, even the wee scripture, I used to have a big plaque. There's a fellow I knew, and he wanted it, and he took it home with him, and he wasn't even saved. And on that plaque it said, my grace, it's sufficient for you. And Paul went through all these. And Paul had an infirmity. He had an infirmity. And he prayed to God. And God never took it off him. A thorn in the flesh. Paul had a thorn in the flesh. And God never removed it. But then when you read through these scriptures, here's what you read. You read that Paul had revelation above other men. That Paul had miracles above other men. God really used him. So God humbled him. And he gave him a thorn in the flesh to keep him humble because of the great things he saw. But thank God this morning for God's blessings. Many of the early Christians in the book of Acts also suffered, but they also rejoiced. Acts 5, verse 40 to 42. And to him they agreed, listen to this. And when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded them that they should not speak in the name of Jesus. And they let them go. Verse 41. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and to preach Jesus Christ. They preached and they teached Jesus Christ. I don't know if any of you saw it, but there's a wee thing around where you can go on. I don't know if you can sign up to it. I'm not sure, but they're wanting to stop the street preaching. Now, we know that. And there's a whole big thing at the moment what's going around. And that fella Ryan, I don't know. It's Ryan, isn't it, Ryan? I don't know the fella. I've never personally met him. But they've took some clips from his street preaching. And they've highlighted it and they're using it. But you see, that's used now for everybody. And that's what they're judging it on, because they want to get it all stopped. You know, my father said to me, he says, the day will come when you'll not be able to preach on the streets. You'll be jailed. And there's some people, Paul says, preach for contention. They preach for contention. They want lifted. And then there's others preach for the Lord. There's different types of preaching. And I tell you, it's on the news and the headlines. Nolan Heap on it. You know, that's how he operates. You know that. He did the same thing with James McConnell, Pastor James McConnell. He done his best to put him down. And now he's doing the same with this fellow Ryan. And whether we agree with all the way he put it or not, he's a brother in the Lord and we need to pray for him. That God will bless him. Amen. And I tell you one thing, the devil doesn't send you out to preach in the streets. It's the Lord that does it. The Lord does it. And everything's for a purpose, and the devil's been disturbed. He's been disturbed. And they want to get the street preaching stopped. Remember that, brother, and you pray for him when you're alone with the Lord, that God will really help him. Amen? And Brother Jordy, and you'll hear as well, they go on the streets. Jordy's been doing it for a lifetime. Me and Jordy used to go together. We used to do about 3 openers every Saturday. Sister Jenny and Rock, and there's others as well. Used to come with me every Saturday. We used to preach on the streets and give tracts out and everything. Me and Brother Andrews used to give 1,000 tracts out every Friday night. 1,000 tracts every single Friday night, while they had a late night prayer meeting over in the Eland and Bonbridge, and they refused to get us any tracts. We didn't fit the wee mold that they wanted to put us in. They wouldn't get us the tracts, but it didn't matter. We got them anyhow. Thank God. I have no regrets. I could tell you so many testimonies what the Lord done back then. God wants you to rejoice. Here's the last thought this morning. And this is what we're told in Acts 27, verse 38. And when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and cast out the wheat into the sea and other stuff as well. They threw it out. We need to get rid of excess baggage. When we want to walk close with the Lord and we want to go on with things of God, sometimes we can have baggage in our life that we don't need. And we need to get rid of it. We need to throw it overboard. How many knows what I'm saying? We need to get rid of it. You know, when I preached a message called The Two Ways, I remember preaching it in Scotland, as sure as I'm standing here, because my honey got saved in that service. And there was other people got saved. There was about 10 decisions in that meeting that night. You say, well, Tom, she's not here this morning. She's not. But the Lord will bring her back. The Lord will bring her back. And you heard me saying it, and I believe it. The devil can't do nothing about it. That's one thing he can't do about it. When God does a thing, it's going to be done. But you know, I preached it, and I might have preached it here as well. The camel, it is hard for a camel to go through the eye of a needle as it is for a rich man to enter heaven. You see, the camel must be stripped off. All his saddle and all his baggage must be took off him, so that it makes him smaller to get through. And God wants us to strip off the excess baggage that we don't need. Amen? And sometimes we can pick up things in the world and we don't need it. We need to get rid of it. And we need to lay it aside for the Lord. Now I know it's certainly not true to say all believers, you know, need correction from the Lord. I don't believe that. I don't believe every believer needs correction from the Lord. The Lord does correct us, but because he loves us. You know, we can't receive correction. We're not his children. It's not the Bible says. But I'm not trying to preach just to say we need correction. I'm not preaching it like that. But I'm just saying that it's true when any of us real believers go through testing that we should search our own hearts. That's true. You know, Brother Branham once said, when things are not going just right, search, overturn every stone. Search and go back in your life and search everything, that everything's just right. And the Psalms 139, I'm closing in this. Psalms 139, verse 23 to 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. God wants us just to search our own lives, to get rid of all the excess baggage. These are the five things this morning when we're through a difficult time. We're to pray and seek the Lord. We're to believe for God's presence. We're to believe the promises of God. We're to count the blessings of the Lord. And we're to get rid of anything that hinders us. Paul says, lay aside the weight that hinders us and let us go on to perfection. When the tempest winds blow in the life of an obedient child of God, or he or she finds themselves in the midst of a stormy crisis, then we certainly will want to search our own heart. It is often the tempest winds that come to search our hearts and to make us do the right thing. And I tell you many times, I know as a preacher, I know that I'm preaching over 30 years. You know, if I was to say, how long do you think we are in this hall? Some of you could have a good guess at it, but I looked the book this morning when we signed in here, the guest book, and we're here 2 years and 4 months. And it doesn't seem like it that we're having meetings here 2 years and 4 months. It's in that guest book, and Gary's boys here signed that book as well below my name. You can check it out, the register book, when you come in. I just did it to see how long we're here. See, life goes quick, doesn't it? Life goes quick, and time goes quick. And many things happen to us, and the devil wants to use it to get us down, but the Lord wants to bring us to a higher plane. To a higher plane. Yeah. Amen. 1 John 3, and I'm closing with this. For if our heart condemn us not, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. Whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is a commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. What's the 11th commandment? Love one another. Love one another. That's the 11th commandment, that we love one another. Let's love one another this morning. And by this Jesus said, all men will know. So too often we're critical of maybe each other, of other things, but we want to love each other. Isn't it better to give somebody a bouquet of roses now, rather when it's too late? Let's give it now. Let's love one another now. If a brother does something that offends you, something happens, just pray for them. Just love them. If the time in ridicule was spent in prayer, the church had been revival. I believe that all my heart. We need to love each other. Let's stand our feet, and we're going to pray. And then a brother's going to come, and we're going to worship for a few moments. And don't forget, our brother Davy McConville will be here tonight. He's been preached just a few sermons on the armor of God, and it's been wonderful. Let's come tonight and support our brother. Praise God. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. And if the Lord has spoke to you, just lift your hand to the Lord. And we're going to pray for you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you, Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for your words of truth. Your word is spirit and it's life, it's health and strength to the bones from the neighbor. Father, I pray for health, for strength, for everyone in this room. I thank you for the salvation of all those that recently came to the Lord. Father, how we bless you. How we pray for other, maybe men that's not part of this assembly, but preach the truth. May you bless them. May you strengthen them. And think of that, Brother Ryan. Lord, that you will give him wisdom and bless him and strengthen him. Lord, as the enemy comes on him, give him the words to say the right things. In Jesus' precious name. Bless Brother George and Brother Yule as they go in the streets. May the angel of the Lord always be with them and near them. And may they be kept by your power. In Jesus' name. Bless all the sisters in this fellowship this morning. Every sister from the youngest to the oldest. Bless them. Strengthen them. Be with them. Bless all the brothers and be with them. And all the children. Bless them and strengthen them. And Father, just have your way in all of our lives. And for the hands raised, help every one of us to get rid of excess baggage that's not pleasing to you that we don't need, Lord. And help us to go down, as it were, into the boat and to spend time with you. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as an eagle. They shall walk and not be weary. They shall run and not faint. Lord, we bless your people in the name of Jesus Christ. And we pray for Israel again today. May you bless them. We know you're with them. And we bless them. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless each one as a brother comes.
But that's how I'd sing the hymn, "Will Your Anchor Hold in the Storm of Life?"